You know, when you hear the still small voice of God speaking, it's what I always want to hear when I bring God's word. And I was thinking, because I knew Aunt Christine and Megan were sharing about Zimbabwe. Do you like the top, by the way?
Yes.
This is from Zimbabwe, from my very kind daughter. Nice, isn't it? And I thought, because they're sharing, I ought to speak on something missional or that kind of stuff. But I just got God saying to me, it is well. I want you to speak on, it is well. So I'm just kind of looking through scripture, and as many of you know, if you go onto YouTube, that I'm doing a daily reading, and it's not where I'm reading. It was another reading that I was doing. You know, you have to, you don't just listen to what the preacher says. You have to do your own study as well. You know that, don't you? Reading the Word of God is your nourishment, and it's how you grow, and it's how you build your life. Well, I was reading, and I just thought, okay, God, I want to be open to what you want to say, and I want to share your words. And then on Friday, Paulette led us in the prayer meeting, a real blessed time where Paulette read the scripture, Colossians 3. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And Paulette was encouraging us to hide in Christ, to make sure our life is hidden in Him. And we were reminded of the old hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. And I have asked Franco to sing and play the song, It Is Well, and we'll do that in a little bit. But I was just blessed by the hymns that we sang this morning. There's such power in these words, isn't there? And we'll get to the reason why I'm saying this in a second. So when I was looking at scripture, I was reading through, if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to it, 2 Kings chapter 4. And it's the story of the Shunammite woman. Now, a few things that you need to understand here is, we don't get her name in this scripture. She's a nameless woman. She's just known as the Shunammite woman. And she sees that Elisha, so he followed on from Elijah. Elisha is doing a lot of traveling from there to there. And her house seems to be about the halfway stop for him. So she converts the roof of her house into a bedroom for him. And basically says, every time you come in by, help yourself. It's your room. Make yourself at home. So he's touched by this. And he says, what can I do for you? Well, they had no children, and she wanted a child, and he prayed, and miraculously, he said to her, you will have a child this time next year. You'll have to read the story. I'm not going to go too much into it now. You need to read it to understand what I'm saying, because time doesn't allow me to spend too much on this. But she says, don't say this if it's not going to be true. Don't lead me down a garden path, because I want to know that it's going to happen. She has a baby. Boy slowly grows up. And then, I don't know, it just says he has a massive pain in his head and he dies. Still young. Now, the thing that I want to pull out here, and this is what I was reading a few weeks ago now when I was seeking God about bringing God's word. If you look at 2 Kings 4:23, she's basically, the son has been brought back. She's laid him on Elisha's bed and says, I'm going to go to Elisha and I'm going to find out. I'm going to talk to him and say, you promised me this son that I would have a child and I don't want you to mess about with me. So her husband then says, why are you going to him today? 2 Kings 4:23. It's neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. So I'm guessing he's thinking you only go there when it's a special occasion. But she's knowing the true God. She sees Elisha as the a true man of God. And she says, it is all right, or it's all right. In the NIV, it says, it's all right. That was her response. Just that, those few words just captured my heart. It's all right. How can you say it's all right when your child has just died? It doesn't even say that she shared this information with her husband. It's all right. So then I looked at a few other different translations. And if you go to the New King James, the words that she said is, it is well. Hallelujah. So that got me thinking, right, okay, what does this mean? What is the translation of this? And it basically means peace. It means peace. So her husband said, oh, are you all right? Why are you going to see Elisha? And she said, it's okay, I have peace. That was her response. It is well. Okay, she then travels, and again, often is the African culture. I know when I've chatted to Elijah about African timing, and he's explained to me that you go to, if you're going from here to here, and your auntie lives there, you can't go past and not stay there. Or if there's another relation, so you stop off at different places, even though you are still going to that place. We don't get it in England, do we? We're going somewhere, we just go there. We don't stop off for auntie this and aunt, uncle that. What she says, if you read in this, it says, put me on a horse and do not stop for anything. She's determined that where she's going to Elisha, and she's determined to get there. Forget customs. Forget, I'm not going to stop for people. I'm determined to get there. She had something within her spirit that knew that God was going to stand on what she needed to. So when she got to Elisha, she was a fair way off, and Elisha sent the guy who was working with him to her. He saw her a while in a distance, and he said to her, please run to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Do you have peace? He then says, is it well with your husband? Do you have peace with your husband? Is it well with the child? Do you have peace with the child? And she answered, it is well. She responded with, I have peace. And yet, her son is dead. That got me thinking, because I love hymns. I love the words in hymns. And I thought of this bit of scripture, and her response is, it is well. So then I started thinking of the hymn, It Is Well. And then I know the story of It Is Well. And I'm going to share a little bit with you. As many of you may know, there may be some that don't understand the hymn, It Is Well. In 1873, a time where a guy called Horatio Spafford, he'd already lost a son. A son had died. There was a great Chicago fire. He was a very wealthy, very entrepreneurial man who had a great business. The Chicago fire more or less put him bankrupt. He had four girls and a wife. To have a bit of rest, get away from where they lived, he sent his wife and children on a ship to come to England, to come to Europe. He then received this telegram that will come up on the screen, which says, arrived safely, alone. What should I do? The ship had collided with another ship. The wife survived alone. A little time later, he was able to go to Europe. He got to the exact spot, and the captain of the ship noted to Horatio that this is the spot where the ship went down. Four of his daughters had been killed, gone down with the ship. His wife somehow survived. He sat, put pen to paper, and wrote these words that will come up on the screen. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows rule, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Powerful words from 1878. And we're still singing them to this day because of the power behind this song. Now, what I wanted to do fairly quickly, again, because I have a time limit as well, is I want to look at one of the things that we try to do, and we really do try to do, is the songs that we sing in church, do they complement Scripture? Are we singing Scripture? Or are we just singing hairy fairy songs of words of lovey dovey stuff that don't actually have any content? I like to know that we're singing Scripture. We're singing things that edify us and build us up. So I then wanted to know, what is this song built on? Well, it's built on the history that Horatio Spafford had on God. It's built on years of times where the world lets you down, when things happen, rubbish stuff happens. But my secure foundation is Jesus. When peace like a river attendeth my way. Now, sorry, I told you not to put this scripture up. Do you mind just finding it? Isaiah 62:12. It says, for this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. Isaiah 66, verse 12. The reason why I wanted you to see this is, you have to look more into words. If you don't understand a word or you don't understand what's going on, you look more into it, don't you, and find out what's going on. And I asked Sally this, do you know what the word dandled means? Because I didn't. Does anybody know outright? No? Well, obviously, if you dangle something, it's you dangle it over the edge. Dandled is something slightly different. So you have a child, and I'll move here, and you put the child on your knee, and you slowly bounce. That is known as dandling, or dandled. And why do we do that with children? We do it to instill peace. Did you know that when you do that with a child, you're following Scripture? That you're bringing about peace for the child? You're bouncing them on. It's beautiful, isn't it? You put them in your arms and you slowly bounce. It's what we all do, isn't it? When you have a baby and they're maybe crying a little bit, you bounce them slightly. Scriptural principle, bringing about peace. He then put, when sorrows like sea billows roll. And we all know what that's like, don't we? When times of difficulty, times of you just don't understand it, they just seem to come and come and come and come and keep coming. I had a time down, we were down in Cornwall a couple of years ago, and it was quite scary. We was in this beach and the waves was really strong. And Meghan was taken by the wave, thrown up in the air, and slammed into the ground. It nearly knocked her out. She was winded. She got up and looked, and we really panicked. I chased down to the sea, and I had to drag her out. And that's sometimes what we feel like, isn't it? When the waves constantly hit us, that we just feel knocked out and we don't know what we can do. Well, Jesus comes and helps us out. Just as I ran and dragged Meghan out, eventually she breathed. It gasped her so much that she couldn't breathe. Psalm 42:7 says, deep calls to deep in the roar of waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. The things in life that keep coming, we need to know that Jesus is there with us and will never leave us. Amen? Amen. The song then says, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. James 1:2 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. I always have to read that again because how could you consider it pure joy? And is anybody else like that? It's tough, isn't it? Just me then. But you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then the chorus, which actually wasn't part of the original writing of the hymn, says, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let it be well. You know, we read that about the Shunammite woman. Praise God, Elisha went back. He prayed. He laid on the boy, it says. And the boy was alive. But here, Horatio Spafford writes this. When his boy had died, his livelihood had gone. And his daughters had gone. Sometimes things go the way we want them to. Sometimes things don't. Verse 2 says, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate. Romans 5, 6. And I'm just going to do a little bit more because time is going and we've still got communion. I'm asking Franco just to come and start playing behind me, please. Romans 5, 6 says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, there's nothing we can do, is there? It's all because of Christ. Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then the next line says, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. 1 Peter 1:18, for you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. There's so much scripture in this song, isn't there? So much you're speaking, you're singing out the truth of the Word of God. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. That's why we come round the table. We acknowledge that it's Jesus that died on the cross for us. 1 Peter 2:24 says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. Colossians 2:13, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Hallelujah. He then says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. We sing the song, bless the Lord, O my soul, don't we? Praise the Lord, O my soul. You're encouraging your spirit and your soul to praise Him. That's why we have to say it. We have to encourage ourselves to praise the Lord. Hebrews 13:15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. Very quickly, a few more. Verse 4, and Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. 1 Corinthians 13:12, now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. The song says, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. Mark 14:62, I am, Jesus said, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. The song says, the trumpet shall resound, the Lord shall descend. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Finally, even so, it is well with my soul. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Are you encouraged? To know He never will leave you, never forsake you. Though trials may come, though difficult times may face you tomorrow, can you say, it is well? 1 Peter 1:6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Think of the Shunammite woman. She said, it is well, even though her son was still dead. Horatio Spafford, who wrote this song at the point of knowing his daughters were below him, dead in the water. Let us learn to say, it is well.